Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I can't hear myself. I was about to say, I couldn't hear myself. Welcome to the K. Thompson Live Show. My name is Eric Payne. I am the sun.
Oh.
Go ahead. I mean, that's your cue, lady. That's your cue, lady.
Oh, he gave me a cue. He's my son, the son of K. Thompson. I'm K. Thompson Live. Oh, we're going to have fun tonight, I tell you. I have a lot of stuff to talk about. I've been getting books in the mail that I have to talk about.
Keep talking, Kay.
Yeah, interesting stuff. We're waiting for the arrival of Wayne Gilman. He's going to be in here very shortly. If not, you know, we will wring his neck. It's just that simple. And we were going to be talking to Diane Hardy, and she is stuck somewhere, so we will talk to her another time. But what we're going to be talking about now is the amazing stuff going on in New York, downtown Manhattan, on Broadway. I mean, the different shows featuring black stars, black actors, black actresses, absolutely fantastic. You know, the trip to Bountiful with Cecily Tyson.
It's going to be
on Lifetime.
On Lifetime.
Yeah. Saturday night, as a matter of fact.
Saturday night?
It is a film. It's a film.
That's an interesting piece, because that was originally done, I'm not so familiar, I think it was a play first, I'm not sure,
mm-hmm.
but I remember when it was made into a movie, I believe, the first version starred an actress named Geraldine Page.
Uh-huh, yes.
Who, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one thing I remember about Geraldine Page, I don't remember a lot of her work, but I do know there was an old movie called The Pope of Greenwich Village starring Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts at the beginning of their careers,
yeah.
when those guys were just becoming stars. And Geraldine Page was in the movie. And I remember that she had gotten nominated for an Oscar,
yeah.
and she was in the movie 10 minutes. So that lets you know she was doing some really good work there, being in the movie for 10 minutes and having gotten nominated for an Oscar. And speaking of which... the Oscars were just on the other night.
Yep.
And we have the young lady, Lupita Nyong'o. I don't even know how to say her name.
Nyong'o.
But I just know that she is a delight.
She is
that young woman.
Absolutely.
And she's fabulous. Taken Hollywood by storm. She's a graduate of the Yale Drama School.
Yeah.
Which probably flies in the face of her being a poor African kid. from what I understand, she's a relatively middle-class person. I think parents were, you know, both educated and had good jobs. But I haven't seen 12 Years a Slave. You know, I got to work my way up seeing those slave movies.
Yeah. I know they make you mad.
You saw it. It was very good, right?
It was excellent. It was absolutely excellent.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that was wrong with it, to me, was it made me so doggone angry.
Right.
You know, it was very hard to sit there and watch that.
Right.
And, you know, it's really just angry. When I left that theater, as a matter of fact, people were crying.
Right.
You know, actually crying in there, you know, during the movie and after, because the scenes were so vicious and violent, and not only that, demeaning, and all that stuff that goes with it. So it is about time that we had somebody of color, you getting the main award, you know, there at the award. So I was really so tickled I could barely even talk about it, you know.
Right, right. And also, too.
Oh, wait a minute. You know one thing? I want to say this to Byron. Byron Saunders is going to be calling in.
Okay.
If Byron, if you're listening, if you can call in earlier, you know, we'd like to have you on earlier because, you know.
All right. That would be good. But I wanted to say about the 12 Years a Slave movie. Yeah, I didn't see it because, you know, the difficulty of the slavery situation. Plus, to me, and Michael Fassbender, who's the new kind of hot actor that they seem to be trying to push in Hollywood, they always pick a few new guys that they want to push, and usually they're not black or Hispanic. But anyway, That's another subject. But Michael Fassbender was played the evil slave master, did a very good job, which is why, and he also was in The Counselor, so I really don't like him because The Counselor was a terrible movie that my sister convinced me to go see.
I don't remember that.
It was a bust. And also he played the slave master, so he owes me money. I automatically don't like him. No, I'm just playing. And also now I'm on the IMDb website, which is the Internet Movie Database website. I just happened to bring it up since we were talking about the Oscars the other day, and I wanted to talk about this Lupita woman, who is a delight. If you've seen her in any interviews, you really, she's the type of person you want to have good things happen for and you're happy for. She's humble, well-spoken, articulate, all of those things. But as I opened the IMDb website, I see they're having an ad.
But what's IMDb?
Internet Movie Database.
Okay.
People can go there that are in the movie industry. If you're not in the movie industry, if you're just a fan of movies, you can go to this website, learn all about your TV shows, movies that are coming out, box office numbers, and things like that. But
now, are you listening
what I'm
to going there?
To talk about, let me just finish. What I'm talking about is an ad that I'm looking at here for a TV show named Sirens, a new comedy series that's going to be starting tomorrow, which I didn't know, on the USA Network.
Uh-huh.
The reason why I'm talking about this is because my good friend, one of my best friends, actually, Mr. Bill Nunn, is on that TV show. I believe he's a series regular.
Yeah.
And the thing about Bill is that, you know, he was working a lot in Hollywood. Radio Raheem is who I'm talking about, anybody who doesn't know who Bill Nunn is. And he played Radio Raheem in the movie Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing. And as you know, Radio Raheem gets killed, and Bill went on to do a whole bunch of movies, as I'm sure you've seen. He was in Sister Act. He was in Regarding Henry with Harrison Ford, a lot of big films. But Bill had some tough times. He got sick. He's a cancer survivor. He went through a year on his back, literally, because he was having, I think he had a bone in his leg replaced, so he was doing real bad. He moved back. He had a lot of challenges physically. He moved back to his hometown of Pittsburgh. He'd rather live there and be closer to home. And he got this job. And I remember joking with me on the phone one day. He said, man, if I get a job, I'm going to have to get a job where I have to sit because I can't really move around as much anymore.
Mm.
And lo and behold, he gets this job where he's sitting down playing a dispatch dude. So I'm really happy for my buddy Bill Nunn.
Yeah.
Hello, you know him well, Mom. Yeah. And I hope this series is on for a very long time because
What's the name of that again now?
It's called Sirens. S-I-R-E-N-S. I think it's about
S-I-R-E-N-S.
Sirens, right? And I think it's about EMS drivers. So there's an ad for this is a young brother and two younger white guys, but Bill is in the series. You know, I met Bill Nunn doing School Days 150 years ago. We've been good friends ever since. So
and
I'm really happy.
You played
what
in School Days?
We both played college students.
Uh-huh.
So that was that's really not the point. The point is that Bill is a good friend of mine. I'm happy for him. So
well, let's get back to School Days now. I remember when you tried out for that and everything was fine and everything Spike Lee, right? Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely
right.
It was absolutely fantastic. Giancarlo Esposito was in there.
Was on Breaking Bad. Giancarlo Esposito was played Gus, the character Gus on Breaking Bad, and that was really a breakout for him. You know, Giancarlo's been working ever since he was a child. And
he played the drug master in there.
And this breakthrough role on a hit TV series, sometimes that's what an actor needs to take his career to the next level. He was nominated for an Emmy for the role, and he was brilliant. But that's movies. Let's move to something that might be similar to movies, but it's real life. It's politics. On the line, we have a caller. I believe that is Congressman Donald Payne Jr.
Oh, okay.
Congressman.
Hello, good evening.
How
good
you
evening,
doing?
Congressman Payne. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
So you sound a little tired. I assume that's probably because you guys took a 50th vote to repeal the Obamacare. Is that what's going on? That's what those guys are doing down there, right?
Basically, yes. My colleagues on the other side of the aisle are gluttons for punishment, and they just can't seem to get it through, their heads, their psyche, whatever, and that this is the law of the land, and it's not going to be repealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and you sound a little tired. It sounds like you're kind of, you know, if I were in your position, and I'm sure many of you are, I'm sure you guys get a little frustrated and a little tired of the mess. I'm sure it can be exhausting after a minute when it seems that people really don't want to find solutions. They just want to find issues and divisions. I'm sorry, Ma.
Yeah, but what was the count there? They were voting to repeal Obamacare. Is that what you just said?
Right. This is the 50th time. Today was the 50th.
Yeah. Again and again.
To repeal Obamacare. So, and also, what's your feelings about some of these elected officials coming out and criticizing the president's foreign policy?
Well, once again, it's the same old story. It really, really is a little laughable and comical in a serious sense, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican caucus, Republican leaders, will find any reason to criticize President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, this week, as we're watching what's taking place in the Ukraine, and Mr. Putin is flexing his muscle in mm-hmm. terms of Crimea, we have Republican leaders talking how strong and great Putin is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Mm.
And we fought a Cold War for decades against communism, and these colleagues of mine sit there this week and speak nothing but in glowing terms of him.
Right.
This is absolutely, the world is turned on its head.
It's
Then what was the problem with communism all those years? If this is such a great and wonderful leader, it has to do with them, once again, anything that the president tries to achieve, they are just going to dismiss. It is ironic. They are celebrating a communist leader in Russia over our president.
It doesn't make sense. Republican Party, they sound like a bunch of idiots. You know, I don't even know where they stand. No one else knows where they stand, all because of the fact that we have a black president. I don't know what in the world is going on. What can be done about this? What are the Democrats doing as a result of this?
Well, it's very close to treasonous.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And what they've been saying about
it. I just been baffled. I just sit there and watch the news shows and watch one after another come up and say these reprehensible things.
Yeah.
Then why were we fighting them all these years? Why are we in a nuclear escalation with them? Why are we? It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. What is the attitude, the atmosphere in the House? I mean, we saw on the news earlier today the tension between Congressman Issa, who clearly is trying to just drag every possible scandal or make a scandal out of everything to bring the president down. And we saw that he cut off Congressman Elijah Cummins, the ranking Democrat in the minority, and didn't allow any Democrats to say anything at all. What's the vibe between the two sides of the aisle?
Well, I heard of that issue late in the day and have not been able to speak to Congressman Cummins or get a clear picture of what happened. I heard that there was quite a scene over there, and I'll have to catch up tonight on the news shows to see what happened, and also speak to my colleagues in the morning in reference to it.
Right.
Congressman Lewis was very, very upset.
Congressman Cummins. It's easy to get the two mixed up, but that was Congressman Cummins. So we got to go to a break real quick, Congressman. We need you to hold on, and we'll be back on the other side on the Kay Thompson Live Show. Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
The views and opinions expressed on GoPro Radio Network shows are solely those of the speakers and are not necessarily the views or opinions of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. or its affiliates. These broadcasts are provided on the understanding that they do not constitute professional advice or services. Individuals who speak in these broadcasts express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. GoPro Radio Networks and its affiliates do not necessarily endorse or oppose any particular opinion or conclusion discussed in these broadcasts. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute these broadcasts in any way without the express permission of GoPro Radio Networks, Inc. GoPro Radio Networks assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with these broadcasts or for your use of these broadcasts in connection with your website, computer, or playing device.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Okay, we are back, and we are talking to Congressman Donald Payne Jr., and we're going to be continuing that conversation. Congressman?
Yeah.
I had asked you, what was the feeling, even with the treasonous? I mean, what does somebody have to do to get charged with treason? Because can an average citizen like myself charge John McCain with treason? Level accusation?
Yeah, I actually don't know the process, but to speak against the president. I mean, you know, we can have those discussions within the Congress, and that's what it is to debate issues. But when it takes in, another nation and watching what's going on and democracy is being broken down. They should fully be behind the president. It is not time for your partisan politics to show through. We should unite as a nation and support the president. And if there are things that we need to discuss with him in reference to the foreign policy that we think might need to be addressed, then we do that in a manner in which is honorable and is dictated by this nation's democracy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They seem to me not to even have any respect for the office. And, you know, since we've had this election of the first African-American president, you know, I've realized some things. I've realized, one, that I'm glad I grew up in an integrated community, because had I not, I might have the tendency, like I feel those tendencies pulling at me right now at times in my life, to be anti-white. To be quite honest, the way they've been acting towards the president, the racist aspect of it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they just lose their mind at the fact that this black man is president when a congressman, and maybe I'm glad I didn't come to the State of the Union when I was asking you to, because to have a congressman bring an individual like Ted Nugent, a racist like Ted Nugent, State of the Union, and everybody could come, where this guy calls the president a mongrel,
yeah.
And those of us that are old enough understand what he's saying. Those of us around our age, congressmen, and certainly my mom and people like that, maybe a little bit younger, understand the term. When you hear a white individual talk about a mongrel, what comes back to mind is those tapes of the Klansmen back in the day.
That's right.
Those films talk about a mongrel race. So Ted Nugent knew what he was doing, and these people know what they're doing when they bring him out. And we should call them what they are. They're nothing but racist. But I'm glad I grew up in an integrated community to know that America is full of righteous people, because I might have a tendency to be anti-white. But being that I know so many people in the world, and we both do, and you work with them there in the Senate, and even someone like John McCain has flashes of decency when he was running for president of the United States and he had to correct that woman and about her calling Obama, President Obama, Arab and all that.
Mm.
Even he has flashes of decency. Even Rand Paul, flashes of decency when he talked about revisiting the sentencing disparity of blacks. But I might have a tendency to be racist myself, not because I'm racist, but as a reaction. Every time I see black people getting shot, or talk about this woman in Florida who now is facing 60 years because she was using the stand her ground defense and shot in the air, and now she's facing 60 because she didn't want to take that attorney general's offer of 20. It's ridiculous. But I'm glad I grew up that we grew up the way we did, not to be racist, because, man, it's hard. 53 years on the planet walking around with this. It's hard. So I'm glad I didn't come down that day, because you know how I am. You're a lot more calm than I am, because I might see somebody and be tempted to give them a look at the very least if I don't say nothing to them, you know? And when I got to get my celebrity status up so I could challenge Ted to a celebrity boxing match and whoop, I'll phone him.
Never mind.
But anyway, Congressman, I want to talk something about...
No, but it really is so funny. It's making me very angry. I know everybody's listening. Because if you're watching television today and you're hearing the names that they're calling our president just because he is a black man.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't
it? You have to laugh at the idiocy of the people in Congress today.
Right.
All right, they don't sound as if they're very intelligent. They all need to go back from where they came from. Those racists there, there are racists in the Congress of the United States of America. They haven't gone anywhere.
Right.
And with this new group of conservatives, they're outrageous. You are going to start something that you do not want. What in the world are you thinking?
Right.
Don't you know there are a whole lot of young African-Americans and young Latinos
and
young Indians out
here? And we ain't
talking
about turning the cheek.
And it's getting, you know, really, really, you're upsetting a group of people who are in the majority now, folks.
Yeah.
So those of you who have these racist leanings, try to get over it real fast before Civil War.
Right.
Remember the Civil War? Maybe you don't remember, but you certainly remember reading about it.
That's true.
Okay. Remember trying to wipe out the American Indians?
That's
right. All
right. That's right. So what happened is that, Congressman, let me just ask you about the president's initiative to help young black and brown men. And he introduced the initiative at the White House. Was it on Monday or was it last? It was last week, wasn't it?
Yes, it was last week.
Okay. And this initiative was to help young men of color that are in trouble, try to get them on the right path. And so
what was that
can you elaborate on that and just how the experience was, because I was watching the press conference. It was really something that made me feel proud seeing so many African-American men there and the president. Can you just elaborate on that experience?
Well, it was a wonderful experience to be there in the White House and have all those young men come up and that are in this program, BAM, where the president met with those young people in Chicago, and the young man that introduced the president did such a magnificent job. And, you know, it just goes to show that if we pay attention to our youngsters and make them feel that their life is worth something, that they have potential, that they can be great and people love them and appreciate them and want to see them do well, then they are able to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just am so proud. One of the proudest days I've been of the president was the last week at that White House event. He spoke of his own mistakes as a young man, didn't hold back. And it was just a defining, really defining moment, his openness and candor. And that can only inspire young people, because he talked about things that he had done that I'm sure a lot of them would say, wow, I've done that too. But then they look at where he's standing behind that podium with the seal of the President of the United States on it, and maybe they think, well, shoot, he did it.
Why can't I? Absolutely.
So, you know, I was just really so proud of him. It appears that he is finally taking a stand on some issues that are important to people of color in this country. And you know, people that have been hard on him in reference to that are really not looking at this thing properly.
That's right.
In order for a man his color to ascend to that seat, you are, we know the microscope he's under.
Right.
So had there ever been a tinge that he was pro-black,
right,
while he was running, as opposed to pro-American,
right,
he would have never made it in that seat. But in your second term, as a lame duck, you can address
more
of your personal agenda, and I think that's what he's doing. And I tell you, I can't think of fewer moments where I've been prouder of him.
Yeah,
right.
Because he talks about those young, men, and he's sitting in their circle and he's telling them, you know, I got high and I didn't do everything I was supposed to do, and this and that and that and this. And then when he got done, he said, the boy next to him, he said, you talking about you?
Yeah,
right.
He said, you mean you? Wayne Gilman is
joining us. So he's like, wait a minute, you talking about you? And so it, you know, that young man realized that he's human too. And here is the most powerful man in the world sitting next to him to say that I made mistakes in my life, but I got myself together. And look where I am today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Congressman, we're joined by Wayne Gilman.
Good evening, Congressman.
And
good evening.
Wayne from the WLIB and
former
WBLS
news director.
All right.
You brought on a point and about people criticizing him. And, Wayne, I know, Mommy, we're all familiar with those individuals who have been very critical of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I always believed, as you said, Congressman, in his second term, he was probably going to start making those type of moves when he didn't have to worry about being reelected and have to worry. And this is really could change the dynamic of black America going in the future. If we were able to get our soldiers, our young men, on the right track like that, we could change the dynamic going forward in the future. And to have the talented 10, so to speak, and have more young African-Americans. It was a great thing.
I, not to cut you off, but one thing that really bothered me about what happened in the first term, that there were members of our community, activists, who were highly critical, Tavis Smiley, you know, felt that he was not being black enough.
Yeah.
Right.
And even though he took the opportunity, and Congressman was right, it was a defining moment in his career as president, to even come out to be as... Can you imagine if George W. Bush had said he used to get high? If that, you know...
You mean if he actually admitted it?
Yeah, admitted it. That's what I'm saying. That's
I think he did, though. I think he didn't have said during his presidency, he admitted the cocaine.
But even in that environment, you know, I mean, the deal is, I was waiting. I immediately turned to stations like WHBC and other places like that just to see what the spin would be if they would use that soundbite.
Right.
And sure enough, you know, that was the first thing you heard out of it. And then you heard people like Sean Hannity, and I was about to call the late Bob Grant.
Yeah,
the
I was just getting ready to say.
He's dead
you
now.
You know what I felt about Bob,
right,
Bob
I know.
Grant.
The
you
two
know?
Of you used to go back and forth.
Oh, we went back and forth.
You know, but the thing that really bothered me about that is the fact that they would do that, and then they'll come out and say, well, why are they just helping the black folks and black men particularly? What happened to black women? What happened to white women? You know, it's just
That's such a trap.
It's sad.
And
I want to hear what the reaction of with the black congresspeople. How did they react to that, Donald, Congressman?
Really, basically the same way. I answered all of them, so it's okay. You know, it was a defining moment. You had quite a few members of the Congressional Black Caucus there, a few members of the Hispanic Caucus, and, you know, white members as well. It was just really a moment where we kind of, two of us looked around the room at each other and we just nodded our heads in, you know, just in approval.
Right.
And, I mean, that took a lot of guts. I mean... No one had to know that. He only had 2 years. He only has 2 years ago. No one needed to know that.
Yeah, that's one of the ones he could not broadcast on TV, or could have just been a print media and could have just kept it on the DL. But
that shows his commitment to these young men. mm-hmm. that he's willing to be open and honest about his past.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a shining example of what you can do. So
exactly.
he's saying, yeah, look, I did some of those things you guys are doing. Yeah, I got high.
Right.
But look at where we are now. Look at where you're meeting me.
Right. Exactly. Hey, Congressman, we got to go.
You're in my house, the
yep.
White House.
Mm. Yep. We're turning black now. We got to go for another break. Can you hang out with us and to come back for the other side?
Sure.
All right. We'll
okay,
be right back.
We'll be right back. Everyone, stay with us.
Hold on, other caller.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a great opportunity. If you have a product or a service, a talent or something important to say, now is your chance to have your very own radio show. Whether you're just starting out, a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We'll help you to grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 today or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your very own show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network, listen to the voices in your head.
And we are back here, Tom Salav, with Eric Payne,
Wayne Gilbert, right, I forgot my name.
And Congressman Tom Payne Jr., and we're talking about the Obama White House, and we're talking about a whole lot of things.
Who's the other caller?
We
want to get in that discussion. Who are you?
Yeah.
This is Byron C. Saunders.
Hey, Byron, we're going to talk to you about the theater. We're going to raise
right, right. But, you know, I was listening to your conversation about the president, okay?
So you want to get your
and I just want to add my 2 cents in on that, Wayne. The president did last year make a comment about Trayvon Martin that was
yep.
critical. He said, I am Trayvon Martin.
Right.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so he didn't wait until this new term to become black. He's been doing it all along.
Yeah.
That's right.
But he still faces backlash from time to time from people of our community, and it bothers me whenever I hear it. I'm sorry.
Well, let me talk.
We all know who was doing it.
I'm going to talk about Paris Smiley for a minute, and if you're listening to Paris, I'm talking straight to you. Holla at me. This is what I've noticed about Tavis Smiley. When he started doing his conferences,
mm-hmm.
the State of the Black America,
angry that
he
started.
What I'm saying. This is what I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you do this business, you get a little enamored with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You get it carried away with yourself.
Yeah.
So what I've noticed about Tavis, the State of the Black Community, you know, it was like, okay, Black Issues guy when he first came out on BET, everybody was behind him. Had this conference for a weekend. Everybody's behind him, and there was the sign was on the wall, State of Black Communities, little small picture of Tavis maybe. Next year, or 2 years later, big old picture of Tavis. The State of the Black Community was real small.
He's beginning to
so now he's starting to brand himself and make himself more important. I saw him in L.A. after the Democratic Convention. He had a party with Jesse Jackson Jr., Blair, and other people. And I saw him walking around. So, you know, I'm there because my Uncle Donald was a congressman. Mm. I was going to say, hey, Tavis, how you doing? I like your work. He said, yeah, hey. You know, and I wanted to have a serious, like, eye-to-eye conversation. And this is why I like people like Congressman Payne. He's my cousin. But when you see Congressman Payne on the street, he's going to look you in the eye, shake your head, and hear you. When I spoke to Tavis, how you doing, Tavis? I like what you're doing. He said, yeah, thanks for coming, bro. And I was like, you know. And I wanted to get further the conversation. He was like, okay, thanks. Have a good time. And just kind of blew me off like he was a movie star. So when you come off to me like that, I'm wondering really what your purpose is, Duke.
Right.
His
purpose was himself. He was at the point where he is beginning to believe his own press that he in all probability writes.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But
no, but he's even turned... You know,
yeah, he did.
You know,
I tell you,
what happened
And the thing is that I like Cornell, and I remember how Tavis started. He used to work for Stevie Wonder Station years ago.
Oh, really?
And yeah,
no
he
kidding.
Just
Gotta
started out. He was just the local guy, Carl Nelson, who
But you don't understand.
Us.
He's now the greatest thing since Chris.
Well, he's again, he believes
so
that.
He
and I'm not here to, you know, to ridicule. You know, but I mean, because it's tough enough to get the kind of visibility that he's getting. But, you know, there's a limit to I think he lacks the finesse. Because I tell you this, you know, I hate to even call this man's name, but Kay and I, your mom and I, used to work for someone for so many years that when they fired you, you'd always go back and say, could you fire me again?
Which one?
You know, I talk about the late Honorable Percy Sutton because he had the finesse. You know, he made you feel, you know, where we headed.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. You know, thank
Percy
God.
Sutton was,
thank God we're out of there.
So, you know, we got Mr. Saunders on the phone. We wanted to talk about a little bit about theater. Congressman, I know you are a theater goer as well, right?
Hello.
Congressman.
Congressman,
we
are
lost
you there?
The congressman. He probably had to go. You still there? No.
Congressman.
Well, that's you, Byron.
Yes.
Theater. Because my mom wanted to talk about that, what's going on in theater, and you're doing some theater here. I see you're doing a play. Is this your play here, The White in Mississippi?
Whistle in Mississippi, yes. It's the story of Emmett Till and
Cage
of Truth Theater, yes. I play Emmett's uncle.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right.
Now, where is that, Byron?
Now, that will be at the Joseph P. Kennedy Center on the 15th of March.
Wow.
Two shows, a 4 o'clock and an 8 o'clock show.
March when?
And at the Joseph P. Kennedy Center on the 135th. At Lenox, right across the street from the hospital.
March when, Byron?
March the 15th.
March the 15th, I see. Okay.
And then on March the 16th, Black Wall Street, which is the story about the 1921 race riots in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where whites rioted and destroyed one of the richest black communities in America in 1921. That'll be on the 16th of March at the Rochdale Community Center in Queens, 8 o'clock show.
Okay.
So what is your...
I'm in those two shows, but there's so much that's happening in theater.
Can I have your autograph, Byron?
Yes?
Can I have your autograph?
Oh.
This is what's about.
We're talking about to Byron Saunders. He does the show here on GoPro Radio Network. What time do you come on?
I'm on from 5 to 6 every Wednesday. I start off the Wednesday cycle with the BCS experience.
Yeah, really growing here. Love it.
What's your assessment of theater in New York City nowadays?
On Broadway right now.
On Broadway, we have a crisis. We have a crisis in black theater. But, you know, the crisis is because we can't seem to finance what is coming out of our black community theaters to come to the great white way unless there's a great white financier bringing the show to Broadway. And that's kind of sad because where is the Negro Ensemble Company? What are they doing, okay? We had the premier black theater company in this country, and they're not producing anything right now. So it's good to have Trip to Bountiful with Cicely and Vanessa Williams. I mean, that's a great show, but it's not being produced by a black company.
Yeah.
So what's on Broadway that's black theater? Now, imagine this. Next year, King Kong is coming to Broadway.
No, you didn't say that, did you?
I would just get ready to say something real messed up. Who's going to play?
I know. And there will be a lot of black actors working in that show. Okay, but how many times, folks, do we need to see A Raisin in the Sun? Okay, and I mean, I love Denzel. I love LaTanya Richardson, who is taking the place of Diane Carroll, because Diane is really too old to really play the role now, and she has physical problems. But
I thought she was playing Mama.
She was playing Mama, but we just had Raising in the Sun a couple of years ago, and then a couple of years prior to that with P. Diddy.
Yeah, but slow down. Slow down about that production.
Yeah, yeah.
I love P. Diddy. Puffy's my man.
But wait a minute, let me get in here. Talking about Diane Cowan, you know, people were saying that she was the first lady who, you know, had a steady show and whatnot.
Right.
She was not the first lady who was on television in a steady role. Do you remember Gail Fisher?
Oh, yeah.
Gail Fisher
was a friend of mine.
Diane Cowan was the first black woman.
Gail Fisher.
Gail was doing the thing with Max at that time.
Yeah.
She was his secretary. Okay, she
right.
had said.
You remember,
but
there was Beulah.
Such a beautiful
Beulah,
yeah.
Who's yeah.
my
yeah.
friend?
So, I mean, Gail was a fabulous actress, okay? Mannix.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the crisis that we have, folks, is really about money. We don't own any of our facilities in this city or anywhere across the country. It has become a situation in which the funding levels that have been cut to all of the Harlem Arts Alliance companies, cut to the Negro Ensemble Company. There's so much roadkill on the side as a result of only being able to get funding to do a show, no funding to build an institution. And if you can't sustain your art form through an institution, how do you anticipate or expect to keep it alive?
That's true. Here's the thing. What I want to point out, you know, that's not a new problem. That's right. It's one that when I first came out of school, graduated college, and came to New York to be an actor, it's one that's been ongoing. I did a show years ago, how I got my equity card, that eventually went to public theater in New York. But it was produced, like you said, by a white institution, and it was a black play called Jonan. Which was
I remember that.
Yeah.
And so.
But you know, the problem, other problem that exists is this. When we talk about the affirmative action guidelines that were part of a set aside program to equal the playing field of use of public dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we supported contractors. We supported women and minority owned businesses. But that mandate never was applied to the arts. Subsequently, the funding that would have been used to subcontract minority and women-owned businesses, even in the arts, would have been the institutional funding that would have helped sustain groups like the Dance Theater of Harlem, sustain companies like the Negro Ensemble Company. And it's a shame because, I mean, I sat in a meeting a couple weeks ago, folks, about 2 months now, in which there was an opportunity to have the Negro Ensemble Company be a resident company at Riverside Theater. And you know what they said? They would rather play down Broadway. Well, come on. The reality is this. When was the last time the NEC had a show on Broadway? Okay?
I don't remember.
And if you know, it is time for us, and I'm so happy that 12 Years a Slave won Best Picture, because this was our story. We need to be recapturing and reclaiming who tells our story, who writes it, who produces it, and who gets it up to see, have our communities see these shows. Now, you see I'm doing Black Wall Street. Did you know that we did the show 4 times up at the Joseph P. Kennedy Center? There were over 400 people standing, sitting in the aisles, almost violating fire code, to come and see that show. Now, there were no reviews.
Byron?
Yes.
How much did it cost to get in?
Tickets were $35, but you could get them as low as $15 if you had the discount code. So it wasn't out of range. And I'm telling you,
you know, the problem with Broadway,
Byron,
the problem with Broadway is that when a good show comes out and we want to see it, you know, the prices are so high that if they're out of reach. For instance, I wonder what the tickets are going to be for, a trip to, Blair Underwood and...
Denzel.
Yeah.
Denzel.
Yeah, Denzel, right. Mm-hmm. Wonder what that's
starting price is at $75, $85, $110, $150. Those are the ticket prices on Broadway. Now, who can afford those?
Yeah.
And on the tickets you want to get.
Yeah, and The Lion King was even more expensive than that,
That's right.
But what you're talking about, that's not necessarily institutional funding just for theater, black theater in general, aside from just Broadway, correct?
Yes, that's
because
correct. Because these theaters.
Oh, it's time for a break. I'm sorry. That was our break tone. And I'm sitting here looking right at it.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with the K Thompson Live Show. Stay with us.
GoPro Radio, the fastest growing network in the galaxy, is leaner and meaner with a new attitude, new technology, and a brand new lineup. Tune in and get wired every Wednesday, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern with the BCS Experience featuring Byron C. Saunders, formerly of New York City's WBAI. Then at 6 p.m., it's the Black Agenda TV Express featuring sought-out political commentator Glenn Ford, formerly of America's Black Forum. Then at 8 p.m., it's time for K. Thompson Live with the legendary radio host K. Thompson of Inner City Broadcasting WLIB and her son, renowned actor Eric Payne, who starred in such films as Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, Drop Squad, and many more. Then, at 9 p.m., it's Food Wrap, featuring Nina Markel, a.k.a. the unofficial mayor of Jersey City, and former Viacom marketing guru Shauna Glover. Last but not least, at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's The Sexy Party Show, with the bad boy of dating Mr. Locario of I Love New York fame and his partner in crime, Miles Cunningham. So get wired every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the GoPro Radio Network, www.goproradio.com. Listen to the voices in your head.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we're back on the K. Thompson Live Show. I'm Eric Payne, the son.
And I'm K. Thompson, the mother.
And I'm not the progeny in this, but I'm just Wayne. You know? I have other parents.
From a different lineage.
We're going to let Byron go. Byron, listen, you're going to have to come back here. And I know
enjoy being on the show with you, always. Always. Love guys, you keep it up because I love what you're doing. Your topics are always right on point, and congratulations for staying and keeping black theater alive and black radio alive.
We're going to be getting Diane Harvey. You know, she couldn't get in because she, you know, had something that was really pressing.
Right.
But I want to say this about Bill Katz. Now, we're supposed to have Bill Katz on the
phone.
Professor William Loring Katz, one of the most prolific writers on African-American history, to be a white guy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And his books are used. He has revised Black Indians.
Oh.
Okay? You have to hear this. He talks about Hampton Institute being an Indian school. You went to Hampton.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Somebody once said to me about Hampton that the problem that they had with the Indian students were that the American Indians wouldn't give up their blankets or their pipes. So they were Yeah, this is a story about American Indian kids, you know, students who were at Hampton University.
Right, right.
And it's true.
Yeah, and that's part of their culture.
Yeah, absolutely. But that, if you're talking about black Indians, here it is.
Wow.
You know, and he has covered a whole lot of things. You're going to be absolutely fascinated with it. So I thank Bill for sending me two books, and we will get back to him probably after we talk to Junius Williams. Junius Williams, activist.
Mm-hmm. He has a book of another kind.
The Unfinished Agenda. Eric, I started, you know, rereading that, got it in the mail today to open the book, and it made me angry because of the fact that I couldn't put it down.
Okay, and
it's
what is that book?
It's written like
book
a movie.
The book is about what?
It's about Newark, you know, becoming a, you know, joining the movement, and what was happening in race relations, what's happening in jobs. Construction, how, you
during
know,
during the 60s and the revolution and the
that's right,
the,
about the Barakas,
right.
about the Paines,
right.
about, the, you know, Gus
right.
Henningberg, and about, Larry Stokes, and all those people who were so important to Newark.
Right.
Newark has quite a political history.
History,
right.
yeah.
So,
well, Newark is the third oldest city in the nation.
Yeah.
A lot of people
yeah.
are aware
that,
of
right,
that.
Right, right. Is it still the oldest city?
Third oldest. Well,
where does Jersey City come in?
I don't know.
Yeah, because they have that, yeah.
Jersey City is a little larger than Newark, isn't
yeah.
it?
No, there's
Newark
that.
Is about, Newark is the biggest city in New Jersey.
In
yeah.
New Jersey, okay.
That, but there's been a controversy about that. You know, one person said, well, Newark is longer and Jersey City is doing more things. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we
yeah.
don't know because Newark is, what, about 24 miles to 26 miles?
In terms of, well, yeah. If you're talking about in terms of land mass, I don't know.
Well,
but
see,
I know
that's
that
what they question, you know.
The biggest city,
yeah.
Well, they talk about population and also.
Although Jersey City's getting a fast run for the money.
And in terms of the African-American presence, not to cut you off, in Newark, has it been something that goes back to like the 30s, the earlier part of the last century?
We
or
don't know.
It...
We weren't here then.
In terms of people
no,
living
I mean,
in North
yeah, yeah.
America.
I mean, at one time, the neighborhood I grew up in, Bed-Stuy, had the largest concentration of blacks in the country.
Right.
And
that's
you,
traditional. That dates back to that time.
Right, right. You know, but,
I think that I saw...
that was when, what, Shirley Chisholm ran for...
Even before that,
right.
We're talking
yeah.
about
you're
back
talking
in
about
the 20s.
How many
Harlem,
people know
Harlem
that, that black woman ran for the presidency?
Exactly.
Know, but
she
a lot
was
of people,
first one that we...
So, I mean, we talked about movies.
Yeah.
That needs to be a movie made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when Shirley Chisholm, I'm proud to say that she came to our house in Maplewood.
Wow.
I'm laughing because of the fact that she wanted to go to the ladies' room and Gina was in there.
And my sister wouldn't come out. I thought it was Lisa, but...
No, she did.
But so, and that's what some... Gee, I'm sure all you listening out there, Gina would really want y'all to know that.
But, she's probably listening right
but,
now.
But the thing about that was that she came over to campaign for my uncle.
Right.
And we had the event at our house. You and Dad had the event at the house. And there was... The legendary
outside.
Shirley
Chisholm
was at my house, and at 10, 12, I forget, I was maybe a little bit older than that, clearly, but just to realize as when I growing up now as a man that this a giant of a woman,
right, tiny woman at that,
right, but
and so dainty and lovely, you know,
but was at Gray Star House, and I had got an opportunity to meet her as a young man. It was remarkable when you see the documentary about her life and how she went up against these men. I mean, these powerful black women like her and Barbara Jordan, who gave these guys gave them guys what for?
Fannie Lou
in that tradition,
exactly.
Yeah. So strong black women.
Marian Anderson. Oh,
but the news of the day. I mean, really, we're talking about the. It's just unbelievable. The I keep thinking about the politics because you know that's what I've been concentrating more now. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about earlier, Wayne. We only got 3 minutes about the treasonous. Opinion about of some of these Republicans dogging the president, basically talking about Putin.
Can Congressman can Congressman be impeached? Well, that can only be done with the presidency.
They can be impeached.
Some of those same congressmen talking like crazy.
So can governor.
Right, exactly.
But I want to talk about one person who I saw speaking real quick, and you guys let me know, and I'm sure you feel the same way. One person I saw talking about the president. And I don't know why nobody's going at her. It's Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin, yeah.
Talk about wearing mom jeans. Now, I think I'm under the impression that this woman has something.
No brain.
The phraseology that that she uses often to describe some people on that she disagrees with that I've heard her use before, these limp, impotent men and mom jeans. You know, she wants to talk about men in these ways. And I know people that come from certain neighborhoods. And if your girl was talking a lot of stuff, you might have had to pay for that,
exactly.
Todd.
Right.
So right on,
yeah.
But maybe there's some stuff you need to handle at home, or maybe we should ask Glenn Rice, right? Since, you know, I don't know if you know the deal about Glenn Rice.
You're really hitting below the belt tonight.
Well,
you know.
That's where they're playing, right?
Yeah, they are.
That's where they're playing.
I mean, she just got lucky this week because of Ukraine. You know, I mean, she did say
and
that.
It's something that she could pronounce.
But, I mean, the deal is that, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, 4 years ago, I mean, she was not the intellectual scholar that she thinks she is.
She still is not.
You know, and I'm just amazed. You know, and the deal
somebody's
was brought up.
Story.
I caught a little piece of The View this morning, and they were talking about that very issue that she just got lucky that one time.
But
the bottom line is that, I mean, she can't even go toe to toe with a Barack Obama, even
not
a Michelle Obama in a debate.
Yeah,
you know, so
that's a celebrity boxing match I want to see. Michelle and Sarah Palin, because you know Michelle will. She's waiting.
Yeah.
Talking
about
a man, she's waiting.
You know, there's a person on television who, you know, people
we have
don't,
1 minute to
people
the end
don't
of the
give
show.
The proper credit to, and that is Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah. She's a Jersey person now. I don't know what she did before. I remember when she was first on Broadway.
Right.
And I saw her, and she had this wig on, and she talked about every girl who wants long blonde hair.
Right.
I was sitting in the front, not in the front row, maybe about the second or third. I also want to mention another movie African movie by called Fela.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, we talked about that.
Mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. Yeah. When that was in... I've never seen a movie like that before.
Well, it's
movie,
that time.
I mean, a play,
it's that time to end the show. Okay. Thanks for listening to this K-Top Live Show. My name is Eric Payne.
I'm Kate Thompson.
And who's that?
Wayne Gill.
That's a cousin. Distant cousin.
Distant.
Listen to us next week. Don't miss out. We're
going
to talk about more. We might have Bill Nunn as a guest on the show.
Yeah, great.
See if we get LaTanya Richardson Jackson.
Yeah.
This is Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Also
yeah.
to call in.
Yeah. Maybe get Sam?
Maybe.
They're here or they're
well.
She is on Broadway as she's taking over Diane Carroll's place to play Mama on Raising in the Sun. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Bye.